And to be an evangelist and to spread the gospel is, you know, the work of the evangelist. It might be someone who goes from camp meeting to camp meeting to camp meeting, sharing the word of God. And, you know, we think of the hellfire and brimstone evangelist who brings in the message of hope, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We also think of what a pastor does as he shares the gospel. But you can also be an evangelist, because as I heard you guys share who shared the gospel with you, I did hear Pastor Baker, but I believe that probably Fred and Judy, in both of your cases, you know, that was a personal conversation that he had with you. And often, the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ is a personal one-on-one thing. And so I'd like to spend some time looking at what an evangelist is. Last week, we talked about how an evangelist is a verb which means to get out the good news. And we looked at what the gospel is. We opened our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and looked at the biblical definition of the gospel. And that's that passage of scripture, if you weren't here last week as we looked at that. It's the one, Christ died according to the scriptures and he was buried and he rose again. The third, it's the according to passage, according to the scriptures. And then we looked at this big, long definition of what the gospel is. This is one of the last things that I read last Sunday night. And now I'd kind of like us to look at, as we look at this, evangelism and Christian service are a result of new life in Christ. When we hear the good news and we accept the good news, it is a natural progression to share the good news. And the Christian gets excited about the good news. My heart was so blessed this week when I talked to someone and they talked about how at a grocery store they were having a conversation with someone about Jesus Christ and about his soon return and getting saved. And these two guys were so excited in the grocery store having a conversation back and forth about how great it is to be a Christian. And someone was sharing that their story with me about this conversation in the grocery store. And my heart was just like, I was like, oh, this is great. This is awesome. And it's so exciting when you hear those types of things. And I know that my heart was jumping for joy as someone was telling me this story about how in a grocery store, you know, the gospel is being shared. And people are excited to have that conversation. And it's a natural result. If you know the good news, you're excited about the good news, you share the good news. It's tomorrow in school. Kids are going to be talking about how their favorite team won their football game. And they're going to be excited about that good news. And they'll say, Mr. Wilson, did you hear and they'll be excited about it. And us as Christians, we have the best news. And our team isn't going to lose. We already know who's won the biggest game there ever has been. I don't know if game's the right word. The battle for the souls of mankind, for this earth, for the redemption of planet Earth. We know who wins. And I am super excited about it. And I get excited about it, and it's affected my life. Being an evangelist is not what makes you a believer. You don't have to share the gospel in order to be saved. But if you have accepted Jesus Christ and you're excited about it, you know, naturally what should flow out of the believer is the good news. Christ, we talked about how Christ commanded us to share the good news and to talk about it. And this is important. Evangelism is not producing new Christians. That's God's job, not ours. We are, and what I'm saying by this is we don't save people. We might play a little part in helping invite and point them to the Heavenly Father. We might point them in the right direction, show them the truth, but it's the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus Christ that saves people. And today, I tried to, as I was asking for those testimonies of, I said, who was the first person to share the gospel with you? I didn't say, who was the person that saved you, right? And I know, sometimes we say that. Sometimes I'll hear, it was the pastor who got me saved. I don't like instantly go, that's wrong. But in a situation like this, I like to educate people. It's not the evangelist who saved you. It's not, and I believe the Bible shares it, people don't say, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, and they don't go, Art said tonight, Billy, the story, it's not like, I'm one for Billy Sunday, and I'm one for Billy Graham, and I'm one for Billy, I need another Billy. But anyways, we, it's Jesus Christ who saves us. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 23, it says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. We are not born again because someone else led us to the Lord. It's because of the work of Jesus Christ that not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed. I believe that goes back to Genesis chapter 3, and the incorruptible seed has to do with Jesus Christ through the word of God, which lives, Jesus Christ lives, and the word of God abides forever. Being an evangelist is the process of sharing the good news. And as we desire to be an evangelist, if there is no conversion, it does not mean that we failed in the task that we were called to do. So if you have a desire to share the gospel with someone, and you've been praying about a coworker, and you've worked up the courage, and you go out and you share the gospel with them, and they don't get saved, that doesn't mean you failed. I think we heard a couple of times tonight about how it was, well, this person first shared the gospel with me, and then the person after this, and then finally came down to this is when I finally got it and believed in Jesus Christ. And sometimes it's amazing when you can see the process and that it was multiple people involved in doing the work of sharing the gospel. Just because you went out, you shared the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they didn't immediately get down on their hands and knees, it does not mean that you fail. Do you know how, like this morning, did you notice that I gave a plea for someone to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior? Do you know that as I walked down the stairs and I walked back to the door, I thought, wouldn't it be awesome? We've got a couple of visitors here this morning. Wouldn't it be awesome if they grabbed me and said, I'd like to know how I can trust Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I wanted that. Does that mean that this morning, as I gave out the gospel message, and I made a plea. If you're tired of living separate from God, being an outcast in the kingdom of heaven, and you don't want to be a part of that second death, that's what I said. Nobody grabbed me this morning and said, but that doesn't mean that this morning was a failure. It doesn't mean that at all. And if you share the gospel 100 times with somebody and they haven't come to know Christ, that doesn't mean that you failed. The important part is that we share the Word of God. And I believe the Word of God. And I believe that when it says that when the Word of God goes out, it will not return void, I believe that. I believe it's important that we share the gospel. Gospel, I found this interesting. When I think about God, the gospel, I think New Testament, right? Don't you think New Testament? You think Jesus Christ. Well, when we go to the Old Testament, we find the gospel 6 times in the Old Testament. But it's kind of interesting. 2 Kings chapter 7. Maybe this word here might be used a little bit differently than what you're used to in 2 Kings chapter 7. In 2 Kings chapter 7, one of the 6 times in the Old Testament, you'll find the word gospel. And in 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 9, it says, "Then they said to one another, 'We are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now, therefore, come and let us go and tell the king's household.'" We're going to be looking at this in the life of Elisha in just a couple of weeks. But as we look at this, we know that this is when the city has been in famine for a long time, and here go out these lepers, and they find the camp abandoned. And they say, "There's food! Everybody's been starving, and there's food!" They say, "We got to go tell everybody the good news." Jesus Christ is the bread of life, right? And the good news is the bread of life, the bread that will satisfy. I think of what Jesus said. The children of Israel, they ate manna in the wilderness, and they're dead. They're dead. What I'm offering is bread of life that will last forever. That's good news. And just like these guys that had to, they said, "We're going to be in trouble if we don't go and tell everybody the good news." So us as Christians, if we keep it in these four walls, then we're in trouble. Now, I know we made these four walls a little bit cozier lately by insulating them. But let's not let it insulate the gospel. The gospel needs to get out from these four walls, and it needs to be heard. And if we keep it in here, then we're in trouble. And we need to make sure that we're going out and we're sharing it. So in the Old Testament, when we see that word that we use for gospel in the New Testament, it means good news that needs to be spread. Isn't there a song, "Good News, Good News, Christ Died for Me"? That's wonderful, extra good news. Remember that, singing that when you were a kid? And we need to do the same thing with the gospel today. I think that if you want to know, this is a big thing to me. The book of John is, if you want a big definition of the gospel, the book of John. I try to describe it to kids. You've got the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They're like somebody that was sitting back and watching what Jesus did and writing it all down like a newspaper reporter. And that's great perspective. And we learn a lot of things about the life of Jesus Christ. But John is like the textbook of the gospel. And it's got a purpose statement at the beginning and a purpose statement at the end. And his purpose is so that you would believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that by believing you can have eternal life. And everything in the middle is completely geared towards that. And so if you want to get yourself familiar with the gospel and be able to share the gospel, study, read, know, and love the book of John. Another, as we look at the gospels for where we find the gospel, a key verse about the gospel, I believe, is Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. So let's take our Bibles and open to Matthew 11. Matthew 11 and verse 5 says, "The blind see, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." So, there's good news. Jesus has the ability to change, and he came to change the world, and we need to make sure that we go out and preach the gospel. And let's also turn it over in our Bibles in the book of Matthew to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. Excuse me, Matthew chapter 28 is what I want. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. Matthew 28. In Matthew 28:19 it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." As we look at, continue to look, there are some evangelists that I'd like to look at. The first one is the pastor. Pastors do the work of the evangelist. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and verse 5, it says, "But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." One of the apostles, Philip, was called to be an evangelist in Acts chapter 21 and verse 8. In Acts 21 and verse 8, it says, "On the next day, we who were Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea, and entered into the house of Philip, the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him." God is the ultimate evangelist. That makes sense, doesn't it? God is the ultimate evangelist. Acts chapter 10 and verse 36. It says, "The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all." Jesus Christ came to this world preaching the gospel, and God sent his Son here to be an evangelist to the world. Evangelize is to preach the person, work, and work of Christ on Calvary, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verses 17 and 18, it says, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And we are to share the gospel for the glory of God. For the glory of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I know I've got you bouncing around tonight, but I really like to look at these passages of Scripture where it talks about being an evangelist. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 34. There isn't a 34. Maybe I want 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Nope, there's not one of those either. Okay, I'll have to look that verse up. But don't get discouraged when you are not successful all the time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful." It's not always our job to be perfect as we share the gospel, but always see it's our job to get out and make sure that we're sharing the gospel and that we're sharing our faith with others. And another thing that we need to make sure as we share the gospel, that we don't get discouraged, that we do it for the glory of God, that we preach the gospel, is that we don't compromise the gospel. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 1, verses 2 to 9 says, "And all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of God, our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." We have a responsibility, and that is to give out the gospel, the one true gospel, that Jesus Christ stepped down from heaven to live amongst us and to die for us to pay for our sins. Don't cheapen the gospel. As you get out there and as you get, don't say to people, "Well, you know, there's if that's what you want to believe, that there might be another way to get to heaven." No, there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And make sure that people know that they have a decision to make. They have to decide what to do with Jesus before they leave this place here on earth. Don't let them walk away by thinking that if they're a good person, that might get them into heaven. One way, and only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. Next week, we're going to begin talking about some people who specifically went out of their way to evangelize others. We're going to look at Paul as he did personal evangelism. Philip as he did personal evangelism. Jesus Christ with his one-on-one evangelism. And so we can begin looking at and seeing what does personal evangelism look like. Tonight I want to look at the evangelist, who he is and what he does. And hopefully you learned a little bit more about evangelism and you were encouraged that we need to get out there and share the good news of the gospel of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you that someone shared the gospel with me. That someone went out of their way to sit me down and say, I'd like to tell you about Jesus Christ and how important he is to me. Lord, it was more than one person. And I know that as we see people come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, that sometimes we sow, and it has to be watered, and it has to be tended to. It has to be received with fertile ground. But Lord, we have a responsibility to go and share. I pray that you will just help us to not be worried about being rejected, but to be excited. To think of those lepers in 2 Kings who were excited because they had found food. And help us to be accepted because to be excited because we found the bread of life. Lord, I love you so much. And I pray that you'll help us this week to be excited, share the good news of Jesus Christ. Thank you for being our God and for dying on the cross to save us from our sins. I thank you for your blood. In Jesus' name, amen.